Too often there is many reasons, there are many reasons for us to be anxious, to be an anxious people, to be uncomfortable, to be worried, to be upset. Am I right? There's all the stuff, of course, out there in the world. Politics with divisiveness, self-interested, mean-spiritedness, saber-rattling, anxiety about violence, war, terrorism. And that's not to mention the natural disasters overwhelming us and what that means for our neighbors, far and wide, from Asia to Mexico, Florida, Texas. The toll on people, the toll on community, the community of our country. And then we have local worries from DACA and immigration issues, loving our neighbors, plus ongoing racism, economic concerns, the gap between the wealthy and the poor in this area. And then we have personal anxieties about our own immediate lives, our families, our friends, concerns. And then we even have silly anxieties, which we're possibly too embarrassed to admit. There's a new Ben Stiller movie coming out by Michael White about status and jealousy. He's taking his son around visiting colleges and meets his old classmates who are very successful in the eyes of the world. And he's just the director of a nonprofit. Sometimes it takes every bit of energy that we have just to survive. Just to survive. You know the song, I Will Survive? It's Gloria Gaynor's birthday this week. That's about a relationship, but sometimes we feel like singing that song because of the burdens there. If we open our eyes and see everything, it takes every bit of energy to survive. But here's the thing. Barring a personal crisis, we're called as faithful people, as Christians, as a Christian community, to do more than survive. To do more than survive. In the words of Benedictine brother David Stendhal Ross, in the spirit of the more, one of his words for God, the more, beyond, we are called to more than survival. We are called to love actively as Christians. Today's readings, to speak out, to speak up, to watch, observe, and speak the truth from the prophet Ezekiel. And God forbid, we're called to face and work through conflict. Jesus says in the gospel, if you're the victim of an injustice in the community, if you're the one hurt and hurting, you're not called to mope or to pout, or to seek vengeance. We're called to speak directly and resolve the conflict. As the one hurt, we're called to resolve the conflict. This is not survival, it's revival. Jesus gives four steps. Seek out the person who wronged you and explain that wrong, assuming that that person cares for you. If that doesn't work, seek out some friends to help you and to be a witness to your effort to resolve. If that doesn't work, include the whole community. And if that doesn't work, Jesus says, treat them as if Gentiles or tax collectors. And we know from the many stories in the gospel what that means. It's not about shunning or excommunicating, writing off. It's about evangelizing. It's about loving. It's about caring. In other words, when we're hurt, we're called to be good shepherds. When we're hurt. The reading from the Ezekiel and Paul's letter, again, says the same. Speak the truth, do something, the prophet says. And Paul says, wake up from your sleep as a survivor only and become a reviver. Put on the armor of light. Love your neighbor. So the word he uses here, agape, is not like romantic love. It's not like filial love for family and friend. It's something else, agape. It's not emotionally motivated, it's spiritually motivated love, right? It's holy because it goes beyond. It does more. It's not self-interested, but rather a wholehearted, holy-hearted, generous desire for and commitment to the good of another. Because we make that choice. It's a decision to make that choice. To hold others in high regard. To see their importance. To see their value. And so it's a process that involves a response from us when we find ourselves surprised by worry, by anxiety, by conflict. So if you ask, can't we just survive? The answer is the same that I receive sometimes in the church office. If Lindy and I are there alone and she's down the hall in her office and I'm in my office and I say, hey, Lindy. Nope. I just want to, nope. That's who I'm working with. We can't only survive. We can't only care for ourselves. We can't only insulate ourselves. We can't only trust in ourselves. We're invited to trust in the love of Christ. That's our theme this year, right? As Jenna Nardella said so powerfully last week in her good sermon, we have to risk letting go of that only stuff, only self-interest, only self-security, only survival. How do we trust in the love of Christ? In our theme for the year, we talk about being open to the truth and then resolving to tell the healing truth, not just tell the truth, but to tell the healing truth and serving others with compassion. That's how we trust in the love of Christ. Another way to say this, perhaps, is to say that we improvise. I've been thinking about improvisation this week, thanks to Garrison Keillor, informing me on Thursday when I was working on my sermon that it was Sonny Rollins' birthday. How many people know who Sonny Rollins is? Great jazz musician. I'm not a big jazz guy, but Sonny Rollins is seen by some as the greatest living improviser, horn player. The greatest living improviser. So I wanted to invite Randy Smith. Is Randy Smith around? Is he in here? Ah, I want to invite Randy Smith up. Because just to capture this image of improvisation. Improvisation means to compose, to perform, to deliver without previous preparation. So I did tell him about this yesterday.
But to ex- know that nope was an answer.
Nope. So to perform, to do something without necessarily being ready. And to do it sometimes in the spur of the moment, right? And also to do it with whatever materials we have readily available. So Randy's going to play a little one-minute thing here for you with whatever he has readily available. Okay? Just a little improvisation. So.
I was trying to think of, I think this one's actually appropriate for the situation of being called up here and improvise this old gospel melody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we can feel that when Randy takes that inside and improvises. He's obviously has a gift, he's practiced, but this is taking it to a different level, right? And musicians do that. Jim Welch does that all the time when we have things going on in the service, and he changes keys and he plays different things. He's amazing. Ryan did this, my son, at my father-in-law's memorial, singing Amazing Grace, which everybody knows. Are we going to sing Amazing Grace again? But to sing it knowing the love for his grandfather, to take it inside, to improvise vocally, takes it to a different space. And that's what Sonny Rollins is known for. So what do I mean by spiritual improvisation? To go from your practice and take it to a higher level, to trust in knowing that you have gifts, to trust in knowing that you have gifts, and you can use them in your own way as best you can and follow your heart. Sonny Rollins apparently had a heroin addiction. This is back in the 50s, which was not unusual in the jazz world. And he was worried that if he gave up that addiction, those drugs, that he would lose his music. He would lose the ability to go to a different place and improvise. And he found out over many years, going into a treatment with the support of friends, that it was very possible for him to do that without the heroin. He took up yoga, he took up meditation, and he realized that this was a gift from God, he said. I have a gift from God. And on teaching young musicians how to play and feel jazz, he once said, it's not a matter of intelligence. Yes, you have a gift. Just as I'm sure other professions, other people have gifts. I came upon these very great, and not just great musicians, but great people. And I'm trying now to live my life like that. I've got a gift, a musical gift, fine. But I want to be a human being. I want to be a good human being. I need to always express that to young students. Everybody can have a gift, but then we have to be good human beings. So that's what it's all about. So I say amen, Brother Sonny. We all have gifts from God. You have gifts from God. How are we going to use those gifts to be good human beings? Because that's what Jesus is talking about. That's what Paul is talking about. To love our neighbor. To use what we have to develop a prayerful life, a practice, a foundation, a grounding, to know those basic melodies so that when we need to improvise, we can. We know that we're not alone. We know that we're loved. We can move past anxiety and worry. We can improvise from whatever materials, leftovers, are readily available. So one image of improvising is with what you have available, like opening the refrigerator and cooking dinner with what's there. How do we do that in our spiritual lives? And how do we supply that refrigerator with possibility and potential in our spiritual lives? To practice our faith, to read scripture, to read holy works, to gather with faithful friends, to work on knowing that we are loved. So what will you place, and what can you place in that spiritual refrigerator, if you will? What nourishes you, what strengthens you, what feeds you, what sustains your soul, your hope, your endurance in anxious times? Is it family? Is it friends? Is it exercise, physical and spiritual? Is it nature? Is it prayer? Is it gathering together in worship? Whatever it is, what reminds you, do more, knowing that you are loved, to remind you of that love. That unconditional love, and what allows you to risk and to trust, to get up like a musician does in front of people and just improvise and play, knowing that that gift is inside and knowing that it can be shared and something special happens when it's shared. So I want to end on this day of community with a prayer from the Iona community, which is a Scottish community on an island, off of an island on the west coast, right? A monastic site people go to. It's a beautiful place. They go for retreats there. And it's a wonderful worship community working for faith and justice and peace. And this is a prayer that they use in a service when people are leaving after they've been on retreat, after they've been nourished, and they have to go back to the so-called real world. O Christ, you are within each of us. It's not just the interior of these walls. It is our own inner being you have renewed. We are your temple, not made with hands. We are your body. If every wall should crumble and every church decay, we are your habitation. Nearer are you than breathing, closer than hands and feet. Ours are the eyes with which you and the mystery look out with compassion on the world. Again, ours are the eyes with which you and the mystery look out with compassion on the world. Yet we bless you for this place, for you're directing us, you're redeeming us, and you're indwelling. Take us outside, O Christ, outside holiness, out to where soldiers curse and nations clash at the crossroads of the world. So shall this building continue to be justified. We ask this for your own name's sake. Friends, let us in our own way, with our own gifts, be spiritual improvisers, trusting that we can go outside to know that we are loved, to know we have many spiritual gifts, to know we can use them, to speak, to act, to love our neighbor, to make do with what is available, to be lifted to a new place of change and hope and help others be lifted as well, to trust in the love of Christ. May it be so. Amen.